Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
As we move into the 8 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. Nice to have you with us here tonight. Your phone number, 617-779-7937. We're going until about 9:15, at which point we will move into Red Sox pregame. Red Sox and the A's, game 2 of 3 tonight, as Connelly Early going to be making his Major League debut for the Red Sox. If you have any Red Sox takes you want to get out there, you can go ahead and call those in as well. We will be sticking mostly to football here this hour as well, but we will maybe venture over into some Red Sox talk, because as this season continues, as this final month of the season continues, we have yet another potential solution here for that number 4 starter role, or number 5 starter role, I guess, depending on what you consider Peyton Tolley to be. And it's another rookie, another very young, early 20s rookie. And I'm all for youth movements. I think youth movements can be a lot of fun and really reap a lot of rewards. But this one, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure about all this. This seems like a lot getting placed on some very young shoulders here. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. What you just heard from Tommy Curran was a take that a lot of people got bothered by, were upset by. And that was his take, which is that if it was up to him and he was in charge of drafting for the Patriots not this past year, but the Drake May year, he wouldn't have drafted Drake May. He wanted J.J. McCarthy. Now, as someone who was more taken by both Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix that year, and my logic ended up being kind of faulty with Nix, I thought Nix wasn't going to get picked until like the end of the round. So I thought you could have traded back. You could have traded out of 3, taken Harrison or, you know, one of these other studs that year, or Alt or whatever, and then traded back and then got your quarterback later on in the round. And when I say later on in the round, Bo Nix, people were talking about him like he could draft it in the 20s or like end of the first round, potentially even early second round. That was what they were saying about Bo Nix and where he would get drafted. That is not where he got drafted, okay? He got drafted, what, 12th overall, I want to say? And, you know, you could maybe have traded back there, but I'm not sure that still would have worked. I think you still would have been, you know, if you're going back like a couple of spots, fine. But you're not going back a couple of spots, drafting at 4 or 5, and then also picking at 12. Like, if you could have maybe wrangled an early second out of that, or a later first round pick, or something along those lines, for a team that was desperate to go out there and get Drake May. But yeah, McCarthy went 10th, Nix went 12th, and the next quarterback didn't go until the next round. So, yeah, it went Williams, Daniels, May, Penix, McCarthy, Nix. And there's your quarterbacks. I wanted Nix. I thought Nix looked a little more pro-ready. I liked his game a little more. I liked the competition he played against a little more. And I didn't think Drake May was a terrible pick, but he wasn't my first choice. And I also thought that if you were able to pick up a quarterback much later in the round, then that could open up a lot of things for you. And, you know, that didn't end up really bearing itself out. All the quarterbacks were gone off the board by the time you got to 13. And the 13th pick that year was Brock Bowers. So it was a pretty loaded top 10, top 13. You know, like that's a lot of good players that went there. And that includes Malik Nabers. That includes Alt. That includes Adunze. All the QBs. Harrison, like, you know, that's potentially some 2024 could end up being like a pretty special draft, I think. But to hear that and to hear Curran say that, I disagree with him there about J.J. McCarthy. I was never a big McCarthy guy. I heard Andy Hart arguing with Ted and Fitzy about this, and I can't believe I'm going to keep agreeing with Andy Hart like every night. Why do I keep doing this? What's wrong with me? I should probably really reexamine. This is like a look in the mirror type of moment. When you find yourself agreeing with Andy Hart this often. But I'm kind of thinking like, yeah, McCarthy, if McCarthy was on the Patriots, even after having missed this whole first year, you know, let's say that they treated him the same way that the Vikings did. And he's coming out here and now he's going to be the quarterback starting for this team this second year. I would have no faith in J.J. McCarthy at all. But it's not really about J.J. McCarthy. It's about the Patriots, and it's about this offense, and it's about this system, and it's about this entire organization and the atmosphere and the ethos and all of it. And it's all pretty lousy. Right now, they're not very high on anyone's list of anything, the Patriots. They got a pretty good statue. Did enjoy checking out that statue, but outside of statues, they're really lacking in a lot of other places. Especially when it comes to an environment that fosters a young quarterback and puts him in a position to be successful. Right now, I think it's clear that the Patriots are not a place that does that. And Mac Jones will tell you that to a much lesser extent. I think someone like Bailey Zappi even could tell you that. And I know you're probably, Bailey Zappi was never going to start here. I know. But there was a time where Mac Jones was clearly on the outs, and they were looking to Zappi, who was a fourth-round pick, by the way. It's not like he was some undrafted kid that can't, you know, like he's a player in college. And is he still in the league? Is Zappi still in the league? He is. I don't know where he is. But I think he is. Yeah, he's with Cleveland. Cleveland practice squad, I want to say. Either way. Like, that team needs some more quarterbacks, right? It's like, well, listen, Bailey. Joe Flacco, Shedeur Sanders, the other kid from Oregon, what was his name?
Dylan Gabriel?
Dylan Gabriel. And there was another one. It's like four quarterbacks. They all got hurt.
Pickett.
Pickett, yeah, right. They traded Pickett. And they cut Snoop Huntley. So, yeah, I guess it's just those three now.
Well, because they had Bailey Zappi waiting in the wings. Like, right. They trade Pickett.
When you got Zappi, I mean, you don't really need anything else. It's a real steaming Willie Beeman type of situation over there. You know
Zappi
I mean?
Mania was a crazy time.
Zappi Mania was tough. Zappi Mania had more to do with Mac Jones than it did with Bailey Zappi. That's really what that was about. And similar things happened back in the day with, like, Michael Bishop and Drew Bledsoe. Never really happened with Tom Brady. Tom Brady never had one of those backups that people were like, let's see the backup. Like, no one ever said that with, you know, any of those guys. Matt Gutierrez or, you know, anybody else that ever backed up Tom Brady. Sometimes you had to see those guys because Brady was injured or suspended or whatever. But for the most part, it was just not something you heard for a long time. Then that came back pretty strongly with Mac. Everyone wanted to see Zappi. You saw Zappi. You realized he might be better than Mac, but he's not very good either. And then you realized, oh boy, this season's not going very well, and it's not going to go very well. And part of that, I think, has to do with the way it was all set up. Mac Jones, in his rookie year, was there with Cam Newton. And Newton ended up getting cut before the season started. But they had all of camp together. And they developed a little friend. Remember Cam was calling him like mac and cheese and all that? And there was like this whole little bromance going on with the two of them. And then at the last minute, they cut Cam and they made Mac the starter and the rest is history. But like with that going forward, you never saw that dynamic with him really again. Hoyer was there, but Hoyer was the third guy. And, you know, it was a little bit, he didn't last long either. And it seemed like by that point, and I don't know, Brian Hoyer could probably tell you more about that than I could, but it just seemed like they didn't really have that presence, that guiding presence, after that rookie year with Josh McDaniels. After that, it was just him and Zappi, basically, and Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. And that is not something that's conducive to success, no matter who you are, no matter who your quarterback is, whether it's, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Bailey Zappi. It really doesn't make a difference. Like, that's a tough situation for a quarterback to be successful in, especially a young one. And now you look at what they have coaching-wise, and you feel better about it. But do you feel better about any other aspect of Drake May and the way that they've brought him along so far? Because I don't. And I'm not really sure that I'm all that in love with the way the coaches are handling this. And it's not because I think the coaches are bad coaches, but I'm just not sure that they're all on the same page about each other and about Drake May. And that, I think, is starting to come to the light a little bit here, either by, you know, frustration and, you know, kind of just, I don't know, maybe we should run the ball more, whatever it is, you know, that Vrabel's saying after these games, type of things that you hear and you're like, huh, that's weird. It's weird that he just blurt that out like that and question his offensive coordinator after one game and put all that, you know, out there into the atmosphere. It does take a little bit off of him, but also when I think of Mike Vrabel, I don't think of a guy with some big system, you know? Like, what's the Mike Vrabel offense? What's the Mike Vrabel philosophy? You had Pete Carroll come in here, and we all know that Pete Carroll's a defensive-minded coach who likes to run three high safeties in a cover three and let you do some things over the middle, but if you try and go deep, they'll have guys back there, and you'll lose yards or, you know, you get picked off or whatever it is that's going to happen. And that's what you expect from a Pete Carroll defense or a Pete Carroll team. What do you expect from a Mike Vrabel team? When Mike Vrabel's teams were really good, what was really good about them? Derrick Henry? Okay, well, you don't have Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry also had a little bit of trouble the other night. Good game, some costly fumbles there, and an inability to pick up a first down, which is why Buffalo won that game. But either way, I'm not here to talk about Derrick Henry. But it seemed like that was really what was the main... I don't want to say he was like a Tom Brady type figure and that's why Vrabel was winning, but like that's kind of in a similar vein, you know, like we only had a couple of seasons to go with where Mike Vrabel was really successful. And part of it was the defense, but I'm not necessarily sure you look at Mike Vrabel and think of like a signature defensive scheme, like he's Dick LeBeau with the 3-4, you know, like that's not what you think of when you think of Mike Vrabel. You think of a guy who's more of a motivator. You think of a guy who's more going to make, you know, connections with his players and get him to run through a wall for him and sort of all of that. That's the Mike Vrabel experience. That's what it was advertised as anyway. There hasn't been a whole lot of talk about Mike Vrabel and what his X's and O's philosophy really even is. He had more of an idea of that with Bill Belichick, and he had a much bigger body of work with Bill Belichick that you could pick apart and sort of learn about without him really offering anything to you, because we know Belichick never offered anything to anybody when it came to that stuff. With Mike Vrabel, I just don't know. I don't know. Is it all going to be left up to the coordinators and he's just going to kind of float in between them? And, you know, I remember he was talking about learning the offense and being there when the McDaniels was teaching the offense so that Vrabel could learn the offense and he could help coach it. I don't know how effective a head coach is going to be at teaching something that he's also learning at the same time as everybody else on the team, especially when that's not his area of expertise. But that's where we are right now. The Vikings, where J.J. McCarthy is, they have a system that's conducive for success. They have two all-world wide receivers. They have a good run game. They have a good O-line. And they have a coach who has, head coach, I should say, who has a plan. And that plan, I think, is lacking here with Drake May. And I asked Doug Cott, I said, what do you think the plan is? And he said, well, the plan, it seems like, is to not let him get hit so much. And I appreciate that as a plan. They shouldn't let him get hit so much. They should try and protect him, sure. But that isn't really a plan. Like, you know, if he was his rookie year and you want to implement a plan like that, like that's what the Colts did with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's rookie year, Mora basically said, don't let him get hit. I don't care if we have to bring in two tight ends and block. We're not going to let this kid get hit, okay? We're going to let him make his decisions. If he throws interceptions, he throws them. But we are going to block, and we are going to keep him upright. And that is going to be the plan for week one, or for season one of Peyton Manning. And it seems like they're trying to maybe do a little bit of that now with Drake May, not to the same extent with the two tight ends and everyone staying back and blocking and all of that. But if that's what they're emphasizing, fine. But I think at this point in his career, you want a little bit more detail when it comes to what the plan is with Drake May. What kind of quarterback do you even want him to be? Do you want him to be a guy who runs around and throws on the run? Do you want him to stay in the pocket? Do you want him to get the ball out real quick like Tom Brady used to? Is it going to be that kind of offense? And if so, is he the right kind of guy to run an offense like that? And if not, then is Josh McDaniels the right guy to tailor an offense around Drake May? And those are the questions that are going to have to get figured out pretty quick here. Because right now, I don't think that you really saw any progress at all And that's something people were really hoping for. I was really hoping for it. And instead, here we are. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones and talk to our good friend Johnny in Brooklyn. Hey, Johnny.
Arcan, thanks for taking the call, buddy.
You got it.
I got to tell you, I was very concerned watching that Drake May performance. It looked like, where was the progression from last year to this year? What did he do all summer? He looked like he lost a step, which is impossible, but he looked slower on the run. He looked like a guy who lacked confidence. And then I watched J.J. McCarthy last night, and I'm no expert on him, but the one thing I could see is that the guy was into it and he was hyping up his teammates. And maybe I missed it, but I did not see a lot of that from our guy Drake May. So I found that very concerning all around. We'll see how it goes in week two, but I appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, Johnny, thanks for the call and thanks for checking in. And I think you're right about that. Although McCarthy had a tough start to the game. He didn't play well for three quarters. He didn't play well until the fourth quarter. And that's when Caleb Williams suddenly turned back into a pumpkin himself. Or he may have been a pumpkin the whole time. I don't know. But that, for McCarthy, like, it didn't, like, he didn't immediately start dropping dimes out there. Like, it took a couple of tough quarters there with that Bears defense before things started to click. But boy, did they click at the end. And you're right. I mean, McCarthy was out there showing a ton of emotion and really, you know, getting into it with his teammates in a good way. I mean, not like getting into it with his teammates, but like getting into the game with his teammates. And I agree. I don't see a lot of that with Drake May. And you also haven't seen a lot of opportunities for him to really celebrate with his team. That's the other thing. Like, you have a young quarterback. He needs to be able to celebrate. He needs to know what wins feel like. You know? Right now, it's just the opposite of that. EJ is in East Boston. What's up, EJ?
Hey, Arkan. How are you, man? Long time, no talk.
Yeah, man. What's going on?
You had made a small point about, you know, if J.J. McCarthy was on this Patriots team. And, you know, for the sake of hypothetical, if it was with Mike Vrabel, you know, Mike Vrabel's Tennessee teams you were mentioning before, although they didn't really lack an identity, right? They ran the football hard. They got the ball to their playmakers. I think, you know, they had A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. I think they had Jonnu Smith before he came here.
Yes.
They had Corey Davis. And they played good defense. And what's funny is those Mike Vrabel teams kind of were almost what J.J. McCarthy succeeded at when he was at Michigan. He had to just hand the ball off and get the ball to his playmakers when he had to, and he ran the ball well. I like Drake May. I think Drake May is a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. Drake May made one play in this Patriots game that made me realize he was a bonehead. He would start running, and he would get down, and he would slide. And you're like, oh, great, Drake May's doing this. He's protecting himself. But then he had that play where he threw the ball, it got deflected, and he called it.
Yeah.
And if you remember, he called it, and he, like, ran off, and then he just took two massive hits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, buddy, you can get down. You're still a runner. But my point is, I actually think, Arkan, for the sake of argument, you have a show to do today, I actually think J.J. McCarthy, given the system of work, what worked well with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, I actually think he may be a little bit of a better quarterback for that scheme fit than a gunslinger like Drake May. Thanks for the call. Good talking to you.
Yeah, EJ, you might be right about that. You know, for the Josh McDaniels offense, you might be right about that. J.J. McCarthy was someone who benefited from a lot of great play around him in college. And that's the thing I agreed with Andy the most about, is that I didn't think he was really that good in college. I thought he had a sick running game and a couple of tough receivers and a great defense and a good offensive line. Just, you know, really benefited from that. And he was a good leader. I mean, listen, in college, he was a good leader. So was Mac Jones. You know, Mac Jones had a lot of friends in college, and they loved him. That picture of him with a cigar and all his boys all hanging around with his belly hanging out, like, that was, you know, I can see why people liked him. Didn't love him so much here, but that's a different story. As far as McCarthy versus Drake May, we'll see. We'll see if those relationships develop. And with May, again, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I know the guy very well. I interviewed him last year, and most of the time it was on the phone. He didn't like coming to talk to us, and it doesn't seem like he likes doing that again this year either, by the way. They didn't even go to Gillette yesterday. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see if he kind of continues to isolate himself. We'll see if there's more interaction maybe on the sidelines. And that's, again, not the end of the world one way or another. But it is something you notice. It's something you notice as a viewer and as a commentator and all these other things. And it would be nice. It would be nice to see the team come together a little bit with Drake May at the middle of it. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll have your New England Nightly News. It was the preliminary mayoral election today in Boston. Also, Boston may have a nightlife problem that's going to get addressed. We'll talk about all of that with your phone calls right after Thomas here gets you caught up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help, you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Up on what's trending. All right, it's time for your New England Nightly News. And before we get to it, I just wanted to read a text from the 508 that came up, and it says, "You all sound so bleepy on a Tuesday talking about how you wanted some other quarterback two drafts ago." The only reason why I bring that up, and I agree, it's not exactly, you know, hindsight radio no one really likes. But I will say this. I took a lot of crap for that, especially in this building. You remember how Adam Jones and Rich Keefe reacted? The day after the Patriots drafted Drake May, Adam Jones, the Dark Knight, was in here with confetti guns, him and Keith belly bopping like it was Smurlus and the Big O back in the day. You know, it was, people were pumped. I remember Shyman here. I think he did a backflip the night they drafted Drake May. There was a lot of Drake May love in this building, and I was one of the few dissenting voices, if maybe the only dissenting voice. Jones, Mega, everybody. I mean, everybody loved the guy. Loved him. Wanted him. Thought anybody who didn't want him was an idiot. And I'm not taking a victory lap yet because I don't think that the story is written on Drake May, and it's certainly not concluded, okay? But I will, in a situation like this, point out that at the time, I was worried about the environment that you would be dropping a kid like Drake May into. It didn't even really have that much to do with Drake May, period. There were other quarterbacks that I liked better than him, but I assumed that any quarterback that they drafted that year would have struggled here because this is not a good place for a quarterback to come play, especially not a young one or really of any age, if you want to put it that way, unless you're the greatest quarterback who ever lived, in which case things worked out great. But other than that, it's been a house of horrors here with this team and these young quarterbacks over the last half decade. And I am not going to shy away from the fact that this was a take that I had 2 years ago. I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of opportunities to say, yeah, I was right, or that it looks like I'm going to be right. Even that is a pretty big one for me, And that's where we are. So that's why I brought it up. So shut up, 508. Anyway, time for the New England Nightly News, which begins with the preliminary mayoral election, which happened or is still happening. No, I guess a half hour, the polls closed. So we might be getting some returns, as a matter of fact. I'll let you know what the early returns are. I can tell you that the most recent polling, which was on September 5th, not even a week ago, had Wu up by about 50 points. I think it was 72% to 22% of the vote. I may be off by a little bit, but I think that's around where it was. Looking at this right now. Now, this is just the primary results, okay? So the top two are the ones who go on to the actual election. And there's Robert Cappucci, and I unfortunately, the other fellow's name escapes me, the other guy who's running. Saw a lot of signs today on my drive over here. It's funny, as the further, like, I drive up from Dedham, right? So I go through Hyde Park, I go through West Roxbury, I go through Roslyn, you know, I go through all these places when I go the back way anyway, to get up here and all these sort of towns, and it eventually becomes Boston. You see all the signs. Where I live is not Boston, but as soon as you cross into Hyde Park, you're in Boston. And then the signs are just everywhere. And I'm looking around, and the further inland you go, like on the outskirts, out in West Roxbury and all that, a lot more Josh Kraft stuff, a lot more, you know, other names and signs. And this is just what I observed. And as you go further and further into the city, it just, woo, just dominates after that. And that's kind of the results that we're getting here so far. The results have already, I think, determined that Wu and Kraft are going to advance to the general election. Michelle Wu, according to NBC, took 65% of the vote to Josh Kraft's 30%, Robert Cappucci, 3%, and I would guess that means the other guy there had about 2%. I've met Josh Kraft a couple of times, and I think he's a very good guy, and I actually think he'd be a pretty good mayor. I heard him this morning on the Greg Hill Show. I think he's a bright guy. I really think that some of the stuff that he's done in charge of the Kraft Foundation and all of the charity and stuff that they do, I think is really, really admirable. And I think that he's a good face of all of that. And I think he's smart and articulate and I think has some good ideas for the city. But he has no chance of winning. I mean, there's no chance. And about a week ago, he fired most of his staff and is bringing in a whole new staff. So now that it's just him and Wu, the incumbent, and the incumbent wins in Boston every single year since the 40s, basically. Since my dad was born, the incumbent mayor continues to win re-election. I mean, that's just the way it works in the city. And especially when you have a popular mayor like Wu. Now, the people who don't like Wu really don't like her. But she's very popular. And I feel like I have to explain that to people when I talk about anything local politics related here. Because there's just so many people who don't like her. But they're not really in the city, you know, like they're, as I said, on the outskirts, the West Roxbury's and et cetera, you know, you get a little bit more of that. But as you go further in, she has a pretty solid stronghold or foothold, I should say, on the electorate. And, you know, I don't know. I heard Kraft this morning and I thought he was fine. I didn't think it was his best hit he's ever done. I think he's had better hits even with Greg Hill. I thought he was a little low energy this morning. I thought he took a while to sort of get to his points. He was like, here's the three reasons why I'm different from Michelle Wu. And then he sort of got to him, but it took a while to get through all three of them. It was like, you know, it wasn't his most high energy appearance. And I think that as you get into an election day, you're going to want to be a little bit more. You want to pump people up a little bit more, especially in the morning on a sports show if you're doing that. And I know the Hillman keeps saying like, well, we keep inviting Wu and she keeps saying no. And it's like, yeah, she doesn't really need to do any shows. Like, she doesn't really need to do anything. She just needs to basically not piss everyone off that likes her right now. You know, there's a lot of people who don't like her, but the people who do like her in the city anyway outnumber them. So that's the way it's going to be. And I still think now, even with this whole thing going on with ICE and the big surge going on in Boston and Massachusetts right now, as long as she continues to resist that and she fights back and pushes back against that, that's going to work for her in this race. Because people aren't going to like that. You know, I don't think that people are really into the idea of having all this extra, and they haven't sent the National Guard in like that or anything like they're doing in Chicago and they did in D.C., but it's a reason why they're doing that in the blue states, in my opinion. You know, the red states are the one who voted for it, but they're not actually sending the troops there because no one actually wants that. No one wants an occupied city or an occupied state with the army in there. You want them, you know, going after the people you don't like. So the red states voted for him to send him into the blue states. And that's what's going on right now, in my uneducated opinion. But either way, if Wu keeps pushing back against that, that's going to be popular around here. And she's been doing that. So I think she's going to cruise to a victory here. I am interested in seeing what Kraft's new team comes up with, if it's going to get real ugly. I don't think it can get real ugly because they're both Democrats. You know, they can snipe at each other, I suppose. But fundamentally, I think that they're not going to really disagree on the big stuff. You know, like Kraft isn't going to be like, yeah, Tom Homan, yeah, ICE. Like, you know, like he's not going to do that. So I think that in general, you're going to see probably a pretty easy win here.
Kraft down by 30 and firing his staff sounds just about right, Arcan.
Kind of does, right? And then there's this. Whoever the new mayor is going to have to do something about this city's nightlife problem.
Boston is a hub for innovation, history, and sports, but ask people about our nightlife, and it could be a short conversation. That, though, may be changing. Not long after the city announced late-night food trucks, it's introducing free late-night trains and buses.
Okay. I like this idea. It's a good idea. But it doesn't address the fundamental problem with the nightlife in Boston, and that's that the bars kick you out at 12:45 at night. That's the problem. Yeah, it'd be nicer if the T ran later, but if the T runs later, then they're still kicking you out at 12:30, then what's the difference? It's like, you know, I don't really see how that matters. I guess if you're going to house parties, but Thomas, your generation doesn't even have house parties anymore. No one has house parties. It's all about the bars. And if you're going out to the bars, great. But if the bars aren't staying open any later, then what difference does it make if they're having buses and tray or whatever it is, shuttles and trolleys and all this stuff? It's nice that they're doing it and keeping them open later. And it sounds like they may even be doing it for free. Did I hear that? Either way, that's fine. I mean, that's great. I think that's a good initiative and a smart thing to do. It's better for safety, keeps people off the roads. All of that's fine. But if you're really trying to make the nightlife better, you got to extend last call. That's the only way to do it. And I'm not saying it's got to be like New York where people are, you know, leaving the bar at 5:30 in the morning. But it has to be beyond what it is now, I think. I mean, doesn't it? Like, isn't that the crux of the problem? And right now they say, well, we can't push last call any further because if you do, then the train's going to be shut down and no one can go anywhere. And that's kind of true. But also the law is that you have to have everybody out of here by this time. And that has nothing to do with the train and the T and everything else. That's just, you know, the Massachusetts drinking laws, which we have a whole bunch of these. No happy hour, and you got to be done by 1:30, and that's it. I mean, those are the two main things. You know, like, back in the 80s and the 70s, people here were crazy. I mean, they were just, you know, a lot of drunk driving, a lot of problems, and so they made all these restrictive laws. And in some cases, you can say that they make sense and that they should keep them and that they should be the way that people go about it. But if you're really trying to spruce up the nightlife here and make it something other than what it is right now, then you gotta extend how late these places can stay open. That's the only way to do it. And you should keep all these things, too, with the transportation. I mean, obviously keep that, too. But that's not going to keep people out later. What's going to keep them out later is if they have somewhere to be. Like, it's nice that they can get home. But if they have nowhere to be, who's going to be using this thing in the first place? If they're all leaving by 12:45, why keep it going until 3, 4 in the morning if no one's out at that point? That's the problem. So there you go. There's your New England Nightly News. Get a little political here tonight. I told you, it's my last full show of, I think, the entire month. I know some of you are probably thinking, thank God. I don't have to hear your liberal weenie crap anymore. Yeah, fine. Good for you. But that's it. I mean, this is the last one for, I think, until October. And assuming the Red Sox are playing in October, it could be even longer than that. So I had to get my blazing hot political takes out there. I hope you all enjoyed them. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls here. Red Sox are playing. We got some Red Sox takes to get to as well. It's all coming up next here on the Christian Arcan Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, we got a few more minutes here before we hand things over to Red Sox pregame with yours truly, Christian Arkin, taking you up until the first pitch, which is going to be between the Red Sox and the A's tonight, and a new pitcher making his major league debut for the Red Sox, Connelly Early, the 23-year-old drafted in the fifth round, 2023, out of U of Virginia, a military man. First two college seasons, he pitched at Army. Whenever you talk about pitching at Army, I always think of Buster Bluth. Like, these are my words, mother, from Army. I always think of that. He's been great, by the way. This kid Early has been great in the minors. 18 starts, 21 appearances across Portland and Worcester, 10-3 with a 2.60 ERA. Interested in seeing what he looks like. Interested in seeing how he adjusts to major league hitting. This is an A's team that got completely shut down last night by Garrett Crochet, and tonight is going to be looking at a kid, another lefty, making his major league debut, and I wonder how that's going to go. I also think that when you look over across the way at Jeffrey Springs, that is not a pitcher over there in that A's rotation that inspires a ton of confidence. Now, the Red Sox have had trouble with junk ballers like this guy before, and Springs is a bit of a junk baller, but I don't think that's going to happen tonight, not after last night. The offense manufactured runs last night, and that was big. You got the home run from Story. You got the home run from Narvaez. All the other five runs came off of RBI singles. And they were getting guys on, they were moving guys over, and they were driving guys in. And when that's something that's going on in a regular basis, when the Red Sox can count on that, then that makes them really scary. That makes them a scary team. Because they're not some big slugging team. They're not a team that's going to go out there and hit a million home runs. They're not the Yankees, all right? They're not the Astros. You know, they're not one of those teams. They're a team that will go out there and get runs across with timely hitting, guys drawing walks, that type of thing. They're not the slugging Red Sox. They're not. I mean, it's just that's not who they are. You look up and down that roster, Willier Abreu had been their leading home run hitter for however long. He's been out all this time. Trevor Story just passed him. You know, like it's that kind of thing. And I don't necessarily think that that's the biggest deal in the world. When they do hit home runs, they generally win, so that's a thing to keep an eye on. But the Red Sox are 13th in home runs this year. They have 171. The Orioles have more. Okay? Something to think about there. As do a lot of the usual suspects. The Diamondbacks, who they just played, the A's have way more. A's have almost 200 home runs as a team. They're fourth in the league. They hit a lot of home runs, that team. Which is why I think Connelly Early's got to be real careful and stay out of the middle of the plate against this team. Because they're going to be chomping at the bit after getting completely dominated by Garrett Crochet yesterday. But I'm interested in seeing this. I think it'll be fun and exciting. The Red Sox do keep things interesting this year. I'll give them that. And I'm all for youth movements. I said this before. I love a good youth movement. But I feel like this particular youth movement is really, really risky. You're really putting all your eggs in the youth basket with this one. And already you've seen the fruits of that not necessarily come out the way you wanted to. And it's not all because of ability. Christian Campbell, maybe you could say, is an ability thing. But I believe that he'll come back and that he'll be productive at some point, and that we haven't seen the last of him here in a Red Sox uniform, obviously. As far as Meyer and Anthony are concerned, those were injuries, which may have been brought on by rushing them up to the majors too fast. But I'm not going to say that. I've heard other people say that. I'm not going to say that. I think they were ready to play, and they were both contributing. Then there's Peyton Tolley, who had one great start and one not great start. And now there's this kid here tonight who may end up being your number five starter. And that's all this to say is that all these guys have made their debuts, and the only one of them who's left is Peyton Tolley. You know, like, he's the only man standing right now. Everybody else is either back in the minors or on the injured list, and now here comes another kid. And all that to say that it hasn't really gone perfectly. Roman Anthony's been a great player when he's out there playing. Peyton Tolley had that one good start, but, like, you can't say that the youth movement has been some smashing success so far. You can say Roman Anthony's going to be a great player, but it was more than just him, and he's not available right now. So all that to keep in mind here as we get ready for this game, number two of three against this A's team. And if they win tonight, if the Red Sox win tonight, they will have matched their season total from last year. And if they win two more games, then it'll be their first winning season since 2021 when they made it to the ALCS. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go back to the phones, talk to Tonus. Am I getting that right? Tonus in Ipswich. And he has something on Alex Bregman. Go ahead, Tonus.
Hey, Arkan. This is Tonus out of Ipswich. Hope you're having a good night.
I am. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm a little nervous. It's my first time calling in, but I wanted to get
Tonus, it's the night show, buddy. You do not have to be nervous on this show, my friend. You call in like you're throwing yourself into the lion's den in the afternoons or the middays with Jones and Key. Those guys will tear you apart. Not here. Night show, you don't have just to kick your feet up and say what's on your mind.
All right. I'll kick my feet up as I start this, but I just want to speak on how bad Bregman has been. You take out the last couple two-hit games that he's had, and he's not much better than Hicks has been pitching. It's honestly unbelievable. If you want the Sox to have any success in the playoffs, you need him to have a serious turnaround. 0-for-4, 0-for-4, you take out the two-hit game, and he hasn't really done anything since New York. I don't see why you don't put Story at third, and then you put Romy at short, or some combination of that. Get Sogard in the lineup and keep Nate Lowe at first. Nate Lowe's the hit dog. He's the one that carries this team. When you really need a hit, you know, mm-hmm. you can rely on him.
Yeah, and you're saying bench Bregman? I mean, listen, that's a bold move here at this point in the season, Tonus. And thanks for the call. I appreciate you calling in. Call back anytime. It was a good call. And you're right. Bregman has been in a terrible slump. I mean, really, it's been brutal watching him. I heard Will last night say that at various points – or not at various points, over the last, not month, I guess, but maybe it has been a month total. Because his actual full numbers from August weren't horrible. 260 average, 735 OPS. I mean, that's not great. He slugged 360, which is very much not great for a guy like him who's supposed to be providing you with some power here. But those aren't the worst numbers I've ever heard. So far in September, though, 194 average, 219 on base, slugging 258. And that's with a two-hit game last night and another one against Arizona. And aside from that, it's been, he's right, there's been a lot of offers. There has been a pretty significant dip in his batting average, which was as high as 303 back on August 12th. So really, since around the middle of the month until now, he's been in a bad slump, I agree. And I also agree that he needs to get out of it if this team wants to make any real noise in the playoffs, because they're not going to be able to. They may be able to back into the playoffs this way, like they did in 2021, ironically, when they had like a nice lead and then almost blew it at the end and then made it to the ALCS, which goes to show that the way you finish the season doesn't necessarily matter. You just got to get there. But they got to get there with Alex Bregman contributing. They have to. Otherwise, it's basically a non-starter. Let's go to our good buddy Casper in Worcester. Casper, what's up?
Well, hi, Christian. I didn't know you were on last night. You already answered my question regarding early. The pitcher, I think it's not a bad idea, and I know you're going to run out of time. I want to ask you this. If you could connect me with the person you referred to regarding that podcast idea, or if you could get back to me, I would greatly appreciate it. Regarding the Patriots, who knows? But we need the Sox to win, and I really appreciate all your efforts and time.
Casper, hang on the line. I'll have Thomas talk to you and get an idea of what you mean with that podcast thing. I'll keep you there. We'll do that after we're done here. Let's go to Andrew in Iowa with a thought on Connor Wong, of all people. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. So just a trend I've kind of seen, and, you know, I've seen it with Connor Wong quite a bit, a trend in baseball as far as the framing. You know, you got to pitch an inch below the zone, and we're pulling it all the way up. And I've seen it with Connor Wong multiple times this year where it leads to a pass ball or, you know, him not catching the ball. And I just didn't know if you have, you know, growing up as a catcher, if you had any insight of to what the hell is going on with these guys trying to pull this ball 6 inches from where it was pitched. You know, framing used to be just kind of where you catch it around the zone. And
Andrew, you were a catcher growing up? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, you'd probably know more about it than I was. I never really played catcher, but I can tell you that that is a common thing that all catchers do in the majors. I mean, they all try and frame the pitches. I remember Veritek and Posada doing that to a ridiculous extent. Veritek, he'd catch a pitch from Pedro that was a foot outside and bring it back. And he'd just bring his hand back. You know, that's what they do. Now, that can lead to guys getting crossed up. That can lead to wild pitches and pass balls and all of that. And I think that there has been a decent amount of that this year. But I also think you can't just let the pitchers off the hook completely either. You know, you've had some stretches here with some of these starters. And Connor Wong, I mean, listen, he's not exactly a defensive stalwart. Neither is Narvaez. Neither one of them are, which is a little problematic if you think about it. But it hasn't blown up in their face a million times this year or anything like that. I think Narvaez is good at keeping runners honest. Wong is a backup catcher in the majors. I mean, that's, you know, that's what he is. It's not the huge expectations from him. But all in all, I would say that, you know, the catcher position right now is one that if Narvaez can continue to produce at the plate, and Wong had that little hot streak last month, so he's contributed a little bit here too. You know, a couple of big hits. It could be something that you feel better about anyway, certainly with the offense scuffling, and maybe the offensive scuffles are over. That game yesterday certainly made me think that it could be, because Morales is a good pitcher. That kid from Cuba, I mean, that kid can pitch, and the Red Sox were all over him. So hopefully they can continue doing that tonight. They have a good guy on the mound for it. Jeffrey Springs is not very good. He's a junk balling kind of lefty, and I think that the Red Sox, Ref Snyder and Gonzalez and all these guys who hit lefties well, this is the kind of guy that you think of when you think of that. Let's close things down with Nick in the car. Hey, Nick.
Hey, RKM, man. Hey, great show as always. You're a realist, man. I appreciate it. Love listening to your show. Just on the Pats, I've never been a huge NFL fan. It was all Celtics, Red Sox in my house growing up. I'm, to be honest, a bigger soccer fan than I am football fan. But for better or worse, like, my eyes are on this team. The whole hubbub, what's it going to be, new coach, people thinking what was really a 3-win team going to be a 10-win team. Like, I'm watching this year. I kind of want to watch the Crash and Burn show, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I'm curious how many people are kind of paying attention to this team in a way that they maybe haven't, for better or worse. So.
All right. Well, Nick, I'd say this about the Patriots, is that there is going to be a lot of attention here on this first month. And it's up to how they play to determine where that's going to go from here. If things go bad, if they go left, and it looks like the Patriots are, you know, more of the same that we've seen the last two seasons with these 4-win seasons, if it seems like that's what you're going to be getting, people will tune out. Now, it's NFL football, so when I say tune out, I mean background noise. And that's a problem that the Red Sox have had the last couple of seasons, too. At the middle of August and through September, they become background noise. They're out of it. You're not following them the same way. You watch it because it's something to watch. But yeah, the Patriots are in danger in these first 4 weeks of that happening. That's bad news for everyone. Good news is Red Sox are playing. Pregame coming up next here on WEEI. It's the Christian Arcand Show. Shout out, Thomas. Great job. Stick around. Red Sox baseball is next here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.